This morning, glad you're here, glad you're watching by social media. Praise the Lord. The Lord has got something good. There wasn't a sign out in the front that said, be silent when you're in here with her. We got to get some more radical people. We got to praise Him. We got the freedom of the Spirit, amen?
Amen.
We got the Holy Ghost. We got the freedom in here joyfully. Hallelujah.
Praise
Glory
God.
To God.
Can be radical.
Yeah. Amen, Fred. I like it. I like it. No, we don't have to joy jump or anything, but it doesn't hurt to get excited once in a while, does it? The scripture teaches us in Psalms 2 to clap our hands, shout for joy, to praise Him. All those things are in scripture, and that's what we should be doing. You don't have to do it because I say it. I don't make anybody do anything. You want to live the way you want to live, you live the way you want to live. But I tell you what, I'm just going to preach the word. I let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But I am glad you're here anyway. Even if it isn't noisy in here today. Glory to God. We thank You for being with us today through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we as a congregation also lift up the people in Texas right now. That of the people, Lord, have lost their lives. And so, Lord, we lift up all the families who have experienced that loss of loved ones, Father, that You draw them closer to You. Maybe it's something that will point them to You. We don't know the work that the Holy Spirit does. But, Lord, bring peace and comfort at this time. Lord, those who have lost their homes and all their belongings, help them to look at their loved one and say, we're glad we're alive. You can return. And You can also do that if You wanted to, Lord. But just bring healing to hearts today. And Lord, let Your Holy Spirit move in this place today and through the crowd and touch people, and let it bring conviction or challenge or joy or whatever the Holy Spirit needs to do in each individual heart. For You read and receive today. And we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We need the Holy Spirit in the day we live, don't we?
Yes.
We need it all the time. But I tell you, more than we're going to need the Holy Spirit, and God's people are going to have to rise up.
Amen.
But in order to do that, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit. Touch on that today, not in any great depth. That'll take a lot more in one sermon, believe you me. But I want to bring it to our attention anyway and let the Holy Spirit speak in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ghost. Hallelujah. So on the day of Pentecost, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, He says to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. How much flesh?
All
flesh. That's still going on. That will go on to be fulfilling that promise. And then He's going to bring fire from heaven. And we can read about that. And I just want to touch on Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. They were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house, tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Today, aren't we?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are we in one accord?
Yes.
Unified? Well, I tell you what. The same Holy Spirit that was in there today, and I believe in the days and hours and weeks and months ahead, we may see a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit moving through churches. I believe people are going to get saved during preachers preaching the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit is going to bring conviction and He's going to draw their hearts to the Lord. I believe there's going to be because they got healed.
Hallelujah.
Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. We may hear people scream out because they just got delivered during a service.
Amen.
And I believe that we are going to see some supernatural events as we draw closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, man. Don't you get tired of just playing church? Huh? I want the Holy Ghost to literally move in a way. And he does. He moves in services. No, that isn't what I'm... Times when the Holy Spirit will move upon people and fill them. And that's what I'm looking for. It can be one or it can be the whole congregation. We're not looking for Holy Spirit that does a work in you and I to make us more like Jesus. Glory to God. The fire that rested on the disciples was not just the fire to speak so many wonderful benefits. It's one of the gifts that is talked down a lot in our society within the church today. Sad to say, it's a gift from God. And it's going to stay here. Do you? That's going to be Jesus Christ. But until then, we speak in tongues when the Holy Spirit fills us. Now, you might say, baptized into the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came into you and lives within you. But I'm talking today about the infilling of the Holy Spirit work. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:12, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God." Jesus, here it is right here. We talk it when we speak in an unknown tongue, we speak it as unto God, not as unto men. I love talking to the Lord. How many of you do that? Do you speak to God every day and use your gift of tongues? You need to do that. That's vitally important. You'll find out that you and I, we just don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit within us does. And when he speaks through us in an unknown tongue, he knows what the depth of your heart is. He knows when you're aching so bad and you can't tell anybody and nobody understands. He does.
Hallelujah.
And that comes through speak of the Holy Spirit speaking through us. Jude 20, it says, "But ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith," pray it there. If your faith is weak, start speaking in tongues. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, you need to use that regularly, daily, as often as you when your faith feels weak. You want to believe for something or whatever it is. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, and the Holy Spirit will begin to build you faith where it needs to be to receive from God. That's a benefit, people. People are going, you know, we get on our hands and our knees and we beg God to speak in other tongues, and we're speaking to him and he hears it. He knows what we're saying. We don't, but he does. We need to do that. Listening to others is vitally important. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians don't witness today. I heard one guy that I was witnessing to one time, and he said to me, brother, witnessing, you shouldn't be doing that. I said, well, that's not true. I said, do you ever read your Bible? The scriptures teach us that we're to go into all the world and preach in Samaria and Jerusalem and around the world. We're supposed to share it. When you share it, it activates you. The Holy Spirit begins to move. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what this is. Rivers of living water. And when you bring life into the here, we're missing a lot, aren't we? I believe we get to heaven, a lot of Christians say, oh, I wish I would have shared the gospel more. Christians that they've never shared the gospel with their loved ones. With their moms or their uncles or their aunts. I'm surprised at that. Because of what Jesus did. And when I got saved, that got me so excited, I ended up witnessing to everybody. Got in trouble a few times, yes, but you got to grow. But I tell you, Holy Spirit, I know that God gave me more boldness to do it. I just did here a couple of years ago. I had a sales manager that I was working for that in vain and using curse words to all the salespeople. And when it was over, I asked him if I could talk to him on a personal level. And he said, yes. And I told him right up front, I said, this is it all. But I said, you tell me you're a Christian. But I said, you sit there, you stand there, and you curse and even use God's name. How do you expect you can ever? Sometimes you got to witness to a Christian.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And you got to do it. Well, you know, what was I at risk? I could have been fired. He could look for some excuse to get that guy out of here. But you know something? That night, I got home and I got a call from him by approaching me today. Now, it isn't because of how great I am. It's how great God is. And I'm excited about the Lord because I know that every time I went to do, every word, we take no credit for it. I take no credit for it. Everything I tell people about is because of what's in this book and what Jesus did on the. Listen to Romans chapter 8:28. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. If you're sick, if you're frail, speaking in tongues will give you strength. It will build up that faith to be able to get that strength in your faith. Pray for us, we all makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That means deep, inexpressible feelings and emotion, and I speak it out. Isn't that exciting? To know that you have an intercessor, Jesus our intercessor, but also the Holy Spirit that He gave us living within us. Pray for whatever reason, we do it. We use our spiritual tongue. God knows what it means. And that strength will come strong. When you speak in tongues on a regular basis, you're talking directly to God. Don't worry about the devil. He can't read it and he can't understand it. The Lord through the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost was a fire to do great things for God. I want to do great things for God. We do things for, I want to do it for God. Acts 1:8, it says, but ye shall receive power. What?
Power.
Do after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part. I can be walking down the street. Hey, sir, how you doing? Praise the Lord. I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to come away the truth and the life. Amen. Amen. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit to witness sometimes, don't you? When you approach people, you ever do street? And I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit's in you, you walk up because you're going to get rejected. People are going to call you names. They might even throw something at you. But I tell you, when you got to do it, you don't do it out of arrogance or pride. You do it because you have a love for human beings that Christ died for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. So luminous power, like dynamite.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need that luminous power. Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with
fire.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is the first promise of the Holy Spirit and His baptism. Today, the fire of the Holy Spirit will help us to be more than we'll do. It will empower us to do great things for the kingdom of God. The fire that came down on the day of Pentecost manifested in six ways. And I'm going to just go through satanic planting and strongholds. That's what the Holy Spirit in you and I will do. We need to be fighting the good fight of faith against spiritual. Is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And believe me, people are possessed with the devil more now than ever.
Amen.
You can look at the riot. You're all standing down along something. They all had black on. They had weird clothing on. And they're all doing weird things, chanting weird things because they look like a bunch of idiots. But God loves them. And we, with the Holy Spirit, in like that especially, don't ever be afraid of demon-possessed people or witches, whatever. Don't be afraid of them. For greater is He than glory to God. So a close look at a study of someone in the Bible, so we get an idea, and a lot of us know the story with Peter. And he was a very fearful person. He was. Several occasions when you read his life in the Bible. For instance, in Matthew chapter 14, 25 and 20, unto them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Now they zoned in on Peter, because he was the boastful one. When Peter and others saw Jesus walking on water, their hearts were gripped with fear. They were looking at the strong winds and the huge waves tossing their boat back and forth and seeing, could you imagine seeing someone walk, boat walking? Now we can kind of put ourselves in that, and what kind of images do you bring up in your mind? fear killed a man. I remember the movie, the Colossal Beast, when I was, I think, 11 or 12 years old, and they had it at the movie theater. And when it was up, there might be a colossal beast somewhere in Clear Lake, South Dakota. But our minds were full of fear, and it was building images from that movie. But then you see a branch blowing in the wind with the moonlight shining through it on our wall. It looked like a hand reaching into the window. What's your mind doing? See, we can build fear. Today, every fear that has been painting wrong pictures in your mind about yourself, other people, or situations we are faced with will be destroyed by the Spirit. I think it was Smith Wigglesworth. The devil walked into his room. He didn't get fearful. He just looked at him and said, "Oh, it's you." And he turned around and went back to sleep because he was filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 14:28-30, in another instance, Peter demonstrated fear. And Peter answered and him said, "Unto thee." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the boisterous, "Lord, save me. Save me." The devil wants us to focus on the wind and the boisterous waves that are in our lives, through in life, that we seemingly have no control of. And he doesn't want us to focus on the Lord. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost, that when we are operating, we'll not be able to come in and bring fear to us, because we'll have the Holy Ghost and fire. Many, many people walk away from God because of fear. Or they'll walk away from God because they'll say, "God, he doesn't exist. Where is he?" Because they don't see the end result like God does. It was given to us for a purpose. Jesus said, "If I don't go away, I cannot send the Comforter." He comforts us in that, in every time part of our life. Fear, if not addressed, may have panic attacks. Many, many people got panic attacks today. I had them for years. I just listened to another pastor who said he had them for years. But I tell you what, it's not a picnic, and I understand it. I understand fear. I understand when people are going through difficult things in life. I've walked through things. Hey, I hope you make it through. Right? I hope you make it through. No, you're going to make it through.
Amen.
You know why? Because I'm the Holy Ghost in us. Short prayer for, I'm going to say, I pray that as God, every fear making us sink spiritually, physically, financially, or causing our marriages, our business, our career to sink, to go down, will be Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then you'll find out in Matthew, and I'm not going to turn to it, Matthew chapter 26:69-75, denied him. Now he's a follower. He's a disciple, but he denied. Peter was scared for his life. And that's why people do not serve the Lord too, because they're scared for their life. Not only they're scared they're somebody's going to get different areas of the world or the country or whatever, because they're afraid for their life. Peter was afraid for his life. He was afraid that if he confessed to knowing Christ and death, and he was fearful. Fear can put you in a position that you are so afraid that if you stand for Christ in that situation, you're going to be ridiculed. You may lose your job. You may be demoted if you stand for the cause of Christ. I've done it different times. I've done it in him all the glory. I stood for what I believed with the owners, with the managers, when I was confronted or I heard them saying things that would have been fired or whatever. But you know something? They respected it because I did it boldly to them. I didn't put my head down and apologetic for Jesus Christ. And I don't like to hear his name used the way I'm hearing it. And I'm no better than you. He changed me. I could have been fired, but they never did. In fact, when I flew to Russia, they actually paid my wages while I was gone. And that's the story I told you earlier about compass. That's what they call me, the moral compass. I heard him say it, but I heard him. But we do it. We stand, do it out of love for mankind, the way God will put in our hearts to really care about people that want to go share the gospel. And we need that, don't we, today, people? Would our businesses be different? Would our schools be different if Christians would start to stand up and just stand for their faith and begin to witness. We need the Holy Ghost fire. We need the Holy Ghost. We need it, people. Any fear that will make us disown Jesus when we are called upon to stand for him, the fire of the Holy Ghost will take completely away from us. And I've done it. And I need the Holy Spirit even today. Every day I need him to do it. And any fear that will make us sin against God, burn it out of our lives when we put our trust and faith in the Lord. You know, we need to ask the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He's not an anon in your life. Talk to the Holy Spirit too. Ask him to help you. Help him when you are going through into a meeting. I don't know how many meetings, tough meetings I had to do where I didn't know it was going to happen. And I say, Lord, I just ask the Holy Spirit to help me to say the right thing. I thought, man, that was a great meeting. That's because I believe I put my trust in the Holy Spirit. He helps his people. He does. Holy Ghost, or I'll say Holy Spirit if people don't like the word ghost. If both words are in the Bible, by the way. But we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Sure, 2 Timothy 1:7, for our God has not given us spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a
sound mind.
You know why sound mind? This is where the devil works. Up here. Access sound, because I have the mind of Christ, and I have God living in me. So I can speak the word, as Amy said earlier, that we speak. Speak that word out loud. I've spoken that scripture so many times. Especially when I was going through panic attacks. And it helps. Because we build you up. The Holy Spirit does that. His word's his word. On the day of Pentecost, when the fire of the Holy Spirit came, God did not give Peter. Was destroyed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came down upon Peter, it destroyed the fear and it left him. But you know something? He still walked through trials and tribulations of life, but the fear was gone. The fear was gone. Peter was set free. Watching, and some of you in here that need to be set free from fear in your life in order for you to have the freedom to go and to live your life and to witness and be a witness. It does. It gives you freedom. I look forward every opportunity to share Christ whenever I can. It's an exciting thing to do. You know, the foxes death and crucified as some right. Just think, that man who walked in fear and I believed like my Lord, he wanted to be upside down. He was a brave man when the Holy Ghost came upon him. You can read it throughout scripture. And the standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken. He wasn't afraid of the Romans anymore. He wasn't afraid of those that might hear and go squeal on him. He wasn't afraid if they cried against him. He stood up and he said, hearken, my Holy Spirit that came up on Peter, the once that denied Christ three times. And here now we have that man, bold and full of the Holy Spirit and fire. This fearful attitude is not from God. God gave us the power, it says in Acts 1:8. As fire from heaven came down and consumed the yoke of fear, Peter responded and preached to them about the same Jesus he had earlier denied. That's the Holy Spirit, people. I don't know. Incredible. You see one man and how the Holy Spirit changed him within an instant. And there's of us in here. You need the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you lose your desire for the fire to go and win the lost? You need the Holy Ghost. Everything that I do, him. Not for anybody else, but for him. If it's just one little word to somebody, I'll do it. Place in Peter's life. And by the way, I'm going to say that again. Deliverance took place in Peter's life. The fire of God that came that day was fire for purpose. There's all kinds of them happening all around the nation. People making big money from people on deliverance ministries. North Carolina to get delivered.
Right.
You don't have to go to Oklahoma. You don't have to go to Portland, Oregon to get delivered from a demon or you need the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. That's deliverance. This Bible gives me 100% deliverance.
Amen.
And we're gifting. Well, he may encourage people, or he may not. Tell you what, I don't need man. I need Jesus.
Amen.
He's the deliverer.
Yeah.
The one who does the delivering. And if you got a stronghold in your life, go to Jesus.
Amen.
And the reason we're not getting the deliverance we need is because we're more dependent on anything in here. In the book of Acts, with the New Testament church, with the brothers and sisters in Christ that got born again, those people, when as soon as they got born again, guess what they did? They went out and they went from house to house, and they delivered people from demons. They set captives free. They healed the sick and raised the dead. Read it. It's in. You need deliverance. You go talk to Jesus. If you need somebody to come along your side and pray with you, that's good. That needs to be done too. But I tell you what, Jesus is my... There's nothing in your life that he cannot deliver. And if you say, well, I've been struggling with this thing since I was a child, it's a generational curse. No, it's not. Not once you get born again, the Holy Ghost and fire. And you need to come to Jesus and he will bring deliverance. When you start obeying the word of God, deliverance comes.
Amen.
That's why they go right back into the things that are destroying them instead of doing what Jesus said. And we need the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Yes.
Am I getting to you?
Yes.
Both. Because I'm preaching the word to you. Peter didn't have to run to see a deliverance ministry. He didn't have to go for a deliverance program. Freedom and deliverance took place as the Holy Ghost fire from God came to rest upon him. That's why the Holy Ghost is in us. It gives us strength. You can call upon God and let the Holy Ghost bring you back to where you need to be. And that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us. We want us filled with the Holy Spirit. I want a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled man coming to me if I got a man-type problem. And if it's a woman, a Holy Ghost-filled woman, respectfully, woman, Jesus said it. He said, woman. That's because... If you need deliverance... What you need more than anything is the Holy Ghost and fire people. And I'm going to keep repeating that more. I watched a young man in the street full of the Holy Ghost where a demonic filled person, woman, came up to him. And she got right in it, in Jesus' name, back away.
Yes, yes.
And she just dropped her guard instantly and she backed right away from that guy.
Yes.
Not because of how powerful he was, man was there.
Yes.
And we're an army. We're soldiers of the cross. We're to go out and fight the demons of hell in our life. Children over our homes. We need the Holy Spirit desperately in this hour we live. Even if you're bored out of your mind and you're humdrum with life. This is life. Especially when you go into panic attacks. He'll bring fear in there so great into your life. And he'll keep it on and on and on where you big Satan wants to do. It isn't the fear. He's not concerned about the fear. He wants you and I to feel hopeless.
Amen.
That's his desire. Holy Spirit fire delivers me from fear, failure, poverty, sickness, barrenness, stagnation. Delivers me from anything that I need. John 14:30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he is not. That's what our Lord said. Jesus said, casting out demons. Beelzebub, Jesus just told him, he has nothing in me. All power belongs. Hold or claim over Jesus. Jesus experienced temptations, but never sinning. Experienced fear, but never giving in. He never gave in on anything, all the way to the cross. And they tried to take him out all the way. He never backed away. He never backed down from the crowds. He walked all the way to the cross for our deliverance. Hallelujah. So with all your heart, until everything of the devil is taken out of you, so that after sin of the devil will be seen or found in you, any form of any idolship in your home or whatever is controlling your life, today if you ask the Holy Spirit, take action. And you'll live a totally different Christian life. God's refining fire came down on the day of Pentecost. Prior to this, so. When Jesus told Peter that he would deny him, this was Peter's response in Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended. Peter said that. We can do this. Excited about Jesus in here and high five it and say amen, preacher. But when we get out there, we become fearful. We change. That's what happened to Peter. He's full of pride in here. But when he got outside, he got fearful. So the real thing is, you know, look for somebody to witness to. God will bring them to you, you to them. Look for them. They're there. And approach them even at the end. You just keep going forward. Don't worry about the exact word you're going to say. Holy Spirit says, I'll put the right ones in your mouth. Peter was full of himself. Peter saw himself as a higher level spiritually than the other disciples. He thought he was way above them. He believed in nothing someone like him could fall for. Never me. Don't ever say that. Never me. I'll never backslide. I'll never fall into sin. I'll never steal. With God's help, you won't. With God's help. We need God's help in every in us human frailty that sometimes gets so weak you never dreamt you would say or do something, but you did it. That's what happened to Peter. We're to be humble. We can do nothing in ourselves. I need Jesus. But what happened? Exactly what the scripture says, in a haughty spirit before a fall. On the day of Pentecost, a great change took place in Peter when the fire of the Holy Spirit came down on him. He was refined by the fire of God. A man which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto him in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he marveled at ye. Or, why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this... boastful, full of pride. Now look at, why are you looking on us? As if we had the power. After they healed a man who had been lame from birth, there was no in that. All the glory to God. Today people run to man for answers to life. They run to man to answers, and that's why they're discouraged. That's why they're despondent about Christianity. At a Perkins the other day, we were talking, and he says to me, he said, I don't want anything to do with religion. I'm done with that stuff. And I said, well, see, that's your problem. Experience what Christianity is. That's a relationship, not a religion. So I had a nice time with him. I credit Peter for the miracle that had taken place in that man's life. None whatsoever. He didn't boast that he was his prayer, his boldness, his courage, or anything at all. Any reason you and I can win or share or plant seeds or water for the cause of Christ is because of Christ himself in us. On the day of Pentecost, that fire. We all need that refining fire, every one of us. We all need it. Again, I say a prayer that God's refining fire will fall in arrogance in you that can bring you down spiritually, physically, and financially, and that's including me too in that prayer. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore think you're such a great Christian. I've been living for Jesus for 50 years. Nothing can rock my boat. Better zip your lip. Loose lips sink ships, they say. 50 years this far, and Lord, should I live, take me the other 50. That's how we live for Jesus. It's all about him. It's because of him to see if we're in our faith or is there pride growing in us. When God begins to use people, they begin to get prideful. They think, hey, I've arrived. Pride. If I do this or do that. Pride. Got to be careful. We should check ourselves to see. Thinking ourselves better than others, smarter, wiser than others. Even in business, business people are smart. They want people smarter than in order to be successful. Amen. I like it when there's men and women that have a real strong fire for God. They're fun people to be around. The thing we think we can never do, we might find ourselves doing that exact thing. You can't go far with God when there's pride in you. Holy Spirit refined Peter and removed that pride that was limiting his greatness. Anger didn't allow Moses to get to the promised land. Didn't. You need to pray. That's God's holy fire will fall on you and remove everything in your life that can hinder you from serving God. Lord, to help you to denounce it, get it out of your life, and watch your life change. Oh, you're still going to have problems. I'm not saying that. But now you're with fire. The fire for explosive growth and expansion came down on the day of Pentecost. Speaking of Peter with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:41, in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. He denied Jesus, but now he spoke the word and 3,000 people come to Christ. Favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were saved. By the way, that's the first mention of the church there too, Acts 2:47. It's heard the word, believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. That didn't include the women and the children. Look how God was using this man after he got used him, and multitudes, thousands came to Christ because speaking the word, and many believed. You know why they believed? Because what Peter spoke, they believed it. The word of God, he spoke it with authority through the power of the Holy Spirit and fire, and that's why people believed him. He wasn't some wimp toast trying to comprehend the word of God. He didn't get himself in skinny jeans and a Johnny Bravo hairdo. He stood out there and he preached the word of God and people got saved. I'm talking about Holy Spirit revival, and we need it. Not man-made trick and treat marketing revival. In some of these big churches, it's not. It's just trick or treat. What can you give me? How can you entertain me? But they're not. People are repenting and homes are changing and businesses are changing and cities are changing and churches are changing. That's true revival. Amen. That's true. Fire for explosive growth and expansion was activated as the Holy Spirit came down. We desperately need the fire and we need the Holy Spirit to come down upon them. People need to see the power of God moving through their parents, yes, through adults. Instead of adult men walking around with lipstick on. Like men. It's foolishness. We need Holy Ghost fire. Never back away from standing for it too. If they approach you, stand. We're in an hour. We need to be warriors. And we need the Holy Ghost fire. Acts 19:18-20. And many that believed, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50. The craft stuff brought forward came to worth $5,000 at that time. You know what that would be today? It'd be over $1 million worth of books that would pile in. Peter, under the Holy Ghost anointing of fire, preached that, and even those with curious arts and witches and all the demonic people came forward with their books and everything and brought them. There's some Christian homes that got to get rid of witchcraft stuff out of their homes, little demonic boo-boo dolls, whatever they're calling them now, and all the little demonic toys that we think are kids' stuff. Their computers, their phones, their toys, or whatever, their books, and we got to make decisions if you're going to have revival in your home. The father is the priest of the home. So if they get mad, so what? Of understanding? When the Holy Ghost fire is present, witchcraft repented and turned to the Lord. That is Holy Ghost power of the gospel when it's preached. Amen. The fire for these agents of darkness to operate, they couldn't do it because of the power of God. Rather, they surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. Of darkness. In our time when so many people, even people sit down in churches and church services, are practicing sorcery, are operating within witchcraft. Amen. Amen. We need it in our churches. We need the Holy Spirit to manifest in all of our gatherings and our services. We need the fire in our homes and our families and our churches, and nations cannot operate against all the evil and deception that if they take one step in this building, the power of the Holy Spirit will soak. They'll either take off running like a jackrabbit or they'll drop to their knees and repent. I want that for this church. I want that for this body. I want a Holy Ghost true revival. I want to see God being the authority in our lives. The devil's pushing us all around and a lot of people complaining and criticizing when in reality, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the fire. In hell. The fire, unstoppable passion to preach to souls came down in the disciples. Do you have a passion, a thirst, a desire to preach the word of God? If you lost it, you need to talk to them. In Acts 1:4-4, I won't turn to it. Peter and John were seized and locked in prison because of their preaching to people about Christ. Talk about Jesus, not to preach anymore. Acts chapter 4:18-20 says, and they called upon them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For ye, we cannot but speak the things which we have liked, because he had the Holy Ghost fire upon him now. Put in prison, he was fearful before, but now there he is. And now they're telling him, don't you talk boldly. See the difference what the Holy Spirit will do in your and my life if we all depend upon the Lord. And it's true. They were filled with intense passion and fire for soul winning that not even put in prison anymore. They were ready to die if need. The fire of the Holy Spirit filled them with an unusual strength and determination to put in our homes and our families and our business, our school. Stand for what you believe and speak it out. And the spirit of fear comes upon you, you rebuke that in the name of Jesus. God made us bold. We're to be bold. We need this fire because when we have it, we will experience more answers to prayer. Chosen me. But I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth or go and bring forth fruit. Did you hear that? You and I are to, we go do it. We go witness. We go share the gospel. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, experience more effective prayer. How many need to experience a more effective prayer? Maybe we need to all get bold in the Holy Ghost, huh? Maybe some of us maybe have never gospel because we want to, but when we do, God tells us there's a benefit for it too. Because our faith is being built up. Now when we ask where it belongs, maybe that's why some prayers aren't answered. There's no fruit. Perhaps one reason. Reasons, but that could be one of them. We're not bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Answers to our prayers are linked to our fruitfulness. When last, we truly need the fire of soul winning poured afresh on us. The fire of spiritual discernment came down on the day of Pentecost also. And I'm not going to go turn to it, but it's Acts 5:1 about the Holy Ghost, how much they sold their property for. They lied, kept part back. Peter discerned that. He discerned it because the Holy Spirit showed it to him. There are two types of fire, which means unauthorized fire. Leviticus chapter 10:1-2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not to do. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. It's not everyone is filled with fire that's carrying the fire of the Holy Spirit. They're carrying strange fire. Some operate in strange fire. They're standing behind a pulpit with high heels on, dressing a woman's slacks. And tell me he's worshiping God. That's strange fire. He's in danger. On this platform in a church and laying in it and going through some things that you shouldn't be talking about in public. Worship, saying he's worshiping God. Careful what we're doing in the church and what we're bringing in. We better know that it's the Holy Spirit working through us. We need to be able to discern a straight discernment, to discern things when people aren't operating in the right spirit too. When we do these things in the flesh, do things authorized fire. And so many in today we live operate in strange fires. They do things in the church, other places that are not their own authority, not under God's authority. That can be a very dangerous thing, people. God can't back us up for a decision. We took the fire for the miraculous came down. From the moment the fire of God rested on Peter, a door was opened for him into the supernatural. Today, God will fill you with his natural, will be open to you. Some of us need the supernatural door open in our lives right now with situations going on in our family, our friends, our jobs, whatever. We need today, First, Peter saw God save 3,000 souls, as I said in Acts 2:41. This was a breakthrough and a miracle for people who had been lame from birth, started walking, and you can read that in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. In Jesus Christ's name, get up and to walk in." Because the Holy Ghost and fire was burning through him. Acts 5:15, 16, insomuch that they brought forces that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about on and unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. Yes. Not because of Peter, but because on us. But all these miracles, the supernatural began to operate in his life because he surrendered to the moving of the Holy Spirit within his life. And we're missing potential for the supernatural to move in your life and other people's lives when we get our lives in order with the Word of God. Amen. So in conclusion, I'll cut her down. I'm just getting on a start here, but I'll stop it. Sermon number two. Fire, God is at work. When the fire of God is present, miracles happen. How does this fire for the miraculous manifest? Well, to a prayer, especially when you seriously need divine intervention. Sometimes it could be God bringing a solution to a problem that has been there for a long, long time. A problem. The man that was crippled from birth never imagined he could walk. Never imagined it. The most and best he thought he could ever get from God was the God to touch. And today, even sick people, we've had them in our church here. People that had serious physical things going on. And my heart goes out to every one of you. We need to get to the point. Whatever has attacked your body is not the end of your life. Even if that person dies, it'll never be the same. When you do, you eliminate what the Holy Spirit and fire wants to do. Because with God, nothing is impossible. We need to be walking in those miracles. But when the fire for the miraculous came down and located this man, what he never imagined could be solved was solved that he never imagined. Or it could be God bringing back to life if he's dead. As it happened to Dorcas in the Bible in Acts chapter 9. So pray along these lines, people. Let's all stand, please. I'm going to have all those people you come up. I'm not going to feel you. The Holy Spirit will. Or you just say, "Lord, I want that Holy Ghost fire to activate in my life. I need it right now." Let's just all gather around. We're not taking this altar. I want the carpet to wear out up here. Pay your tithes and I'll buy a new carpet. Man, we got... And he hears. You can even have pride stop you, or you can surrender to the Holy Spirit. You're not surrendering to me. I'm just hopefully guiding and encouraging. I'm going to have you. I put two prayers down here that I like, and I'm just going to read them out loud. And as I do, you repeat it after me, okay? Wave at me. I got to make sure. Okay. Let the fire.
Let the fire.
For that problem in my life, I have been battling for years. Let your fire, like it happened to Dorcas, let the fire of your Holy Spirit fall. Bring about a revival and a renewal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No feelings concerned about it. You're here. Thank God you're here, because you're here by faith, not by your feelings. You can change your world today. Hallelujah. If you got a speak in tongues, you speak in tongues, because that's the glory to God. We will see miracles happen before Jesus comes back. We will see and experience great things from our God at altars and churches without running around, wasting money and time, because it's all right here. It's in the book. Jesus says, I am that remains the same after the fire of God comes upon him. No one. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day as your children, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're looking to you for divine intervention. We're looking to you for the fire to come into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the manifest. Help us to begin to open our mouth and stand for what we believe, Father. Help us to be men and women and young people, Father, that will change the world around us in order to see your hand move upon us. Lord, do a supernatural work at Crossfire Assembly. Do a supernatural work at every home that's watching, every person that's standing here. And Lord, you know us all. You know every need we have. You know everything that's holding us back. Lord, Holy Ghost, loose it over them right now. The walk in the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus and everything. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, the Lord bless you. And I want to encourage people in the church too. You see new people in the church, shake their hand. Get to know them. We're the family of God. Skin color doesn't make any difference. Nationality for God. And believe in the weeks and months ahead, you're going to see a change in your lives. Don't what the book says, what happened to Peter. Not just Peter, all of them. All the disciples were martyred except John. God wants to do a supernatural work, every one of you. And you're welcome to have some good fellowship downstairs if you would like. If anybody would like prayer here, and I'll pray with you before I leave. So you have some good fellowship and say, I got the Holy Ghost.